Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the gang, the one you never asked to be a part of. You are listening to the Grief Gang podcast, the show dedicated to breaking down the topic of grief, one conversation at a time, with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey. Hello, 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 Grief Gang. This week, and it is a very important week in the grief calendar, the grief community calendar, it's Baby Loss Awareness Week. We are, by the time this goes out, about halfway through Baby Loss Awareness Week 2022. And I'm talking with author, journalist, presenter, and very proud to say now friend, Pippa Vosper. Pippa is most noted for her written features in British Vogue and, as of recently, her first book, Beyond Grief, which is exactly what we're going to be talking about in today's episode and more. Pippa and I found one another well over a year ago online and immediately connected. I remember seeing her in like the comment sections of my Instagram and just connecting and gravitating, and I think meeting quite quickly, quite after that really. And though both coming from two extremely different bereavements, I value and resonate with so many of Pippa's words and stories. In today's episode, Pippa takes us back to the day her son Axel died when she was 5 months pregnant. The instinctive moment that she knew her baby was going to die that night, and the moments she spent with Axel alone, soaking in every moment of and with him, the shock of it all. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, Grief Gang, as I never really do try to on this podcast. This episode is tough, but it is real. So, so real. Pippa is not and will not be the last parent to experience this. The loss of a child that didn't reach full term is so silenced, so swept under the rug because the outer world didn't have a relationship or lay their eyes on this baby. But does that make this loss any less to the likes of Pippa and many other mothers and fathers? Baby loss, from my 3 years of doing Grief Gang, is one of those areas that many outside of that loss community shy away from. Maybe because it's too unfathomable. You're probably right. It is utterly heartbreaking. But it happens and it is happening, and it's about time we get a bit more geared up to talk about it and have these conversations and listen to these stories. Pippa's book, Beyond Grief, is doing exactly that. It covers every aspect of pregnancy and baby loss at any stage, from the practical to the emotional, with advice from experts and stories from women who have been through it themselves. God, I could go on for ages talking about Pippa and just my total admiration for her. I'm so proud to call her a friend, as I said earlier, and her support, love and frankness is unmatched. We need more Pippas in the world. We really, really do. And during this Baby Loss Awareness Week, to all the mums and the dads that are maybe listening, my heart is with you during this week and all the weeks that are after. Your baby matters, always has, and always will. Hello, Grief Gang, and welcome back to another episode with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey of the Grief Gang podcast. Today, I am joined by this wonderful woman who has come into my life and is just this radiance of joy. And I can't help but honestly just laugh when I'm in your presence. And I feel I feel so blessed that our paths have crossed. And once again, it's a path that has crossed over very unfortunate circumstances and most very, very different circumstances as well. But nonetheless, grief is grief and we all resonate in some way. So today, Grief Gang, I would like to introduce to you Pippa Vosper. Pippa, thank you so much for joining me today, darling. How are you?
I'm so good. I smile when I see you, whether we're talking or in person. I just smile when I see your face too. You're just such this, even if we're talking about experiences of grief and death and hardships, and which is just, you make it less painful.
So to kickstart, Pippa, before we've got so much to talk about today, because you were just a fucking powerhouse of a woman, and just I'm so fortunate to know you and to be alongside you in this journey, and I'm so glad that our paths have crossed, because
I feel the same.
Yeah, it's the miraculous of Instagram, and how I just remember seeing you in my comment sections before, and I was like, who's this lady just like dropping hearts?
Because I started following you because I just caught you somehow, and I was like, oh, I love the energy here. It's not angry and it's not depressing, and it's my kind of grief.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay, my kind of grief when it happens isn't great, but how you were expressing yourself and other people's grief and the comments I could see, I was like, oh, this is a good space, you know?
But before we get deep and dirty into all this work and all this stuff, we need to tell your story and who it is that we are here to remember and to talk about today. So Pippa, if you could take a couple of minutes and tell the lovely Grief Gang audience who it is.
Well, we're first going to start talking about my son, Axel, who I felt for a long time I couldn't call him my son. And, you know, I've spoken about this before, when he was 5 months into my pregnancy, when I woke up in the middle of, I started to feel unwell during the day. But as with most people in this world, I said to myself, oh, I don't want to cause a fuss. Oh, I don't want to go to the hospital and bother the nurses who are already super busy. Let me just rest. Get predominantly worse throughout the evening, but not to a sick state. But I was thinking, I'm just tired. So I go to bed, again, thinking now it's sort of 10:30 p.m. Don't want to wake my son up, and because he was nearly six at the time, and take him to hospital with us, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I wake up about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had what would feel like a period pains coming, and felt my tummy, and I could feel that where the bump of my pregnancy and where my baby was being held had moved quite low to the pelvic area. And I just knew, Amber, I just knew. I'm like, this is not right. You know. So I get up and I said to my husband, we have to go to hospital now. Like, it's really now. So I start getting dressed, and nobody wants to know this, but I sleep in the nude. And so I was getting like a top on, and I hadn't got any hadn't got any bottoms on. And I go into the bathroom, because when you're about to give birth, it feels like you need to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because the pressure of the water is about to break. So I go into the bathroom, the door is open, and I turn around and my husband's in the other room, and that's it. My water's breaking. It gushes. The water gushes out of me. But I could feel something. Mm. So I look down, and there's this tiny pair of legs hanging out of me. And I'm just like, he's here. He's here. What the hell? He's here. Like, you're in your house. We were actually in a rental at the time because we were having work done in our home.
Yeah.
So it was bizarrely next door to my house was flat. So I rented it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're in this sort of rental property, which didn't feel right either because, you know, you're in it's not your surrounding. Yeah. It's not your home.
Yes.
So my husband sees and he goes white. He actually goes white and he looks terrified. And I just went into very sort of production mode. Yeah. I said, right, okay, what do we need to do? And I wasn't crying at this point. I was petrified, but that had actually it was so terrifying. The fear had wiped away at this point. Yeah. I was in, what do we do?
Yeah.
So we said, right, let's call 999. Standing there and my baby's legs are there. And so immediately as wonderful human, and you don't always get lucky when you call 999, no. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. We got so lucky. This woman was so warm and so kind. And she just said, right, put towels on the floor. Mm-hmm. Your baby's here. You're going to have to deliver him onto the towels. And he came out very quickly and very smoothly and into my husband's hands. And he was breathing. Mm-hmm. So the lady said, is he alive? And we were like, he's breathing.
Yeah.
And she said, right, you're going to have to start the mouth to mouth. So she said to my husband, put your face over his face and just breathe. And then the ambulance, we have an ambulance station very close to our home. Very quick, the ambulance turned up. We could hear my son had woken up. So I couldn't let a 5.5-year-old see this situation. So I said to my husband, right, I can hear the ambulance. You go. I mean, it's 3 a.m. We're very lucky that it wasn't 1 p.m. in the afternoon, I think. So I said, you go to our son. I will continue mouth to mouth. So I picked my boy up and I was giving him mouth to mouth. And then the paramedics walked in. One very in control guy, Tim, and one absolutely petrified young Australian or New Zealand guy. So Tim said, he explained that Axel was too young to live. He's too little at 20 weeks. So he said, right. And I just said, I don't know if you're allowed to do this. I remember saying this with pure clarity. I need him to die with me.
Yeah.
I can't die with you guys. I need him. I need there to be some poetic moment in this absolute horrific chaos.
Yeah.
So I don't know how whether or not they got in trouble, I don't know. No, they wouldn't get in trouble because no one knows about it, but they shut the door or I pushed the door and then Axel died. He stopped breathing, but he died with his mum, not with two strangers. And, you know, so the next bit is quite blurry because then I was like, okay, now it's sinking in.
Yeah.
Now it's, I'm holding my dead baby. And now we're on. This is it. And my son was on my tummy and I pulled my top up. So he was laying, his skin was on my skin. And I'm just like, I'm just so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry. Like the ambulance, which is a moment of slight absurdity, the ambulance speeds off and leaves part of their equipment in the house. And my husband thinks I'm dying.
Oh, God.
Because they haven't told him where we're going.
Yeah. And why?
So my husband's So my husband's like, what the flip is going on?
Yeah.
So then he's calling all the hospitals, getting in our car with my son, getting my son dressed. And he's calling all the hospitals that he can think of in the neighborhood. There's 3 or 4. And then finally he goes, I bet you they're taking her to where we're registered, which is actually not our closest hospital. Calls A&E and they're like, yes, she's registered. She's on her way.
Okay.
Hurry up. So we go into the A&E. And this is one of the worst memories because you are so alone and my husband wasn't there yet. And I'm laying with my baby who's I can feel that he's cold.
Yeah.
He's getting cold. And I'm just, the people were crowding around and again, they're busy, but a very impersonal, I believe Spanish doctor came in and was just not even talking to me.
At you.
I mean, he was talking about the nurses, but then you think to yourself, well, I might have been dying for all I know. So he probably just didn't give a hoot about the lady. He's like, let's save these people. Mm. Or not the baby, but let's save the lady in case something's up.
Mm.
So he pushed my placenta out, which was, I remember it being forceful on that area. And the placenta came out, which I later understood was a really brilliant scenario because then you have to go to theater otherwise.
Yeah.
And have it removed. I'm like, oh my goodness. Then I remember my son and my husband turning up and I'd called a friend, Charlotte. I'd called her and she hadn't picked up the first time. And I called her the second time at 4 a.m. or something. And I said, the baby's dead. And she just leaped into action, took Asti, took him to nursery, everything else. A family friend let herself in that day, cleaned our bathroom.
Yeah.
The blood splattered walls, cleaned towels.
Yeah.
And then we went into this quiet room. It wasn't quiet for long because we were on the labor ward with many babies being born that day, but it was quiet for a time. And dim lights, and my husband and I were just there. And then it hits you.
Yeah.
And you just go, what the hell what do we do from here?
What
like
now?
what our babies died. Like, what do we do? That you don't know. There is no possible way of knowing. This is why I wrote the book, because there isn't as many reasons why I wrote the book. But in those first moments, I just needed instructions.
All these people as well, and people that you have retained in like your heart and your mind, I think
is amazing.
Because I say it's amazing, but almost how could you forget these people?
Oh, no. This is like part of the story you can't forget. And, you know, I can remember Tim being so kind, the first paramedic, and it actually made me want to be a paramedic. In a different life, I would be a paramedic. I mean, I think they're incredible people.
Mm.
And then you... I can't remember when Axel was taken from me.
Yeah.
You know, we'd already named him Axel before his birth, so we knew who he was. And I can't remember when he was taken from me. And, you know, and you don't really imagine it, but at 5 months, a baby is a baby.
Yeah.
You know, many people who've never been pregnant or don't remember the class at school or, you know, it's a baby. And and I remember them saying, do you want to see him? And I was very nervous. And my husband said, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
So in turn, I was like, well, okay, I do. I wasn't sure, which, God, I think if I hadn't, I would just be living these days with such regret.
Giving you the option of, you know, you can do this. This is experience you've never experienced in your life. You don't know what is, but potentially some hospitals may say, no, that's unethical or anything like that. You know,
because, or just some advice to say.
Just to say, it's okay, you can do that and it's all right.
You might want to put a little blanket and a bonnet because they do provide them. And we weren't told that. So I'm not angry. I don't agree in anger being a part of, particularly this late in the stages of grief. I think it's very unhealthy as a personal note to be angry. I find you're dealing with enough already.
I want to ask you with Asti. So obviously you know, your husband was with him for quite a lot of that time. Did your husband tell you kind of, so he was six. That's quite a,
he's aware.
Yeah.
He was aware.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so kind of what was told to Asti?
Oh, when he came to the hospital with my son, with my husband, I remember the midwife saying this is the right thing to do, in her opinion.
Yeah.
I told him his brother had died.
Yeah.
I said, I gave birth to your brother and he died.
Yeah.
And now we have to find a way through this. But I told him when I was on the bed in A&E.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, you know, there are cases for telling children the baby's ill, or there are cases for if they're not, you know, and there are cases for telling children other things. But in my belief, it's just saying it there and then in any circumstance in life, and then going forward with the truth from there.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Coming back to home afterwards, coming back into that space and roaming those walls.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Even that first step through your front door.
Horrific.
Yeah.
Everything is a new pain. Mm-hmm. From the pregnant lady in the playground who she and I were at the same stage of pregnancy, to watch her bump continue to grow. And I actually see her son around the neighborhood still. And then for mine to stop growing and actually go down as hers continued to go up. I mean, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? And, you know, you are happy for the other person, but equally you are just like a constant reminder.
Devastated.
And then coming back that night, and I was still, I put on quite a lot of weight in my pregnancies. So I could only fit in my pregnancy clothing. Mm-hmm. So therefore every day for 2 months afterwards, but I was dressing in my pregnancy clothing because nothing else fit. And I was too distressed to think, oh, I'm going to go to Zara and buy some new clothes. What? Yeah. No, it's not happening.
No.
So I was getting up and putting on my maternity jeans. And I'm like, this is torture.
Yeah, literally torturous. And then as well, your body is still reacting and producing. And it's just... You're in this chamber of torture from women that I've spoken with. And that's for me, like, from someone who has now so many friends in the baby loss community who I hold so dear in my heart. The thought of, going through something that you've been through, and then for your body to still naturally do what it's doing, but to literally live in like a torturous chamber.
It's a torturous chamber. Because I wanted to just, I remember sitting on the bed naked once and looking at the mirror to the right. And I just thought, I want to take a tool and just slice off my stomach. I want to get it off. I want to slice off my stomach. And I want to, I mean, because you're not in the mood to go to a Pilates class 2 days later. Mm-hmm. You're not in the mood to go, I'm going to run it off. Yeah. You're in the mood to sit on that sofa and eat comfort food and watch. In my case, oh God, I watched Sex and the City from start to finish because they were like the comforting friends I needed. I didn't have to talk to them.
Yeah.
But they were talking to me. So I was, it's really funny to say, but I was having a social life
through the screen.
And I was clinging on to those girls as if they were my friends because I didn't have to say anything to them.
Yeah.
But I was going out to restaurants with them. It's so funny to say it, but I lived through their experiences to escape my own.
Yeah.
You know, I just was like, and Sex and City has always been a favorite. And I thought, I'm going to start from the first.
Yeah.
Episode one, series one. And I went all the way through and it actually really helped me to forget for a moment and to escape for a moment. Mm. And I'm back with the girls, you know.
I love that. Sex and the City helped you through.
Yeah. It's like finding that show. It could be Girls. It could be Game of Thrones. I don't know.
But just
taking that time to just go, you know what? And also I'm such a productive doing person that I said, this is part of my therapy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to feel guilty for sitting for 3 hours on a Wednesday morning and watching this stuff.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that to myself.
It's part of your healing.
It's my therapy.
Yeah.
I'm sitting and watching these girls and I'm not thinking about my baby dying for at least 38 minutes of those 3 hours. Yeah.
So but you even know within that 38 minutes of that episode, your mind is still going to wander. So, but even if it gives you a 5 minute respite, you know. But it kind of, that kind of leads really well into kind of, you know, you went into, that was your therapy and your respite for a while because, well, within 5 days, you went back to work. And I'm going to pull up an extraction from an article that you wrote and then some questions after that. So you wrote an article, to the outside world, it looked as though my life was normal. 5 days after I said goodbye to my baby, I was back at my store in Notting Hill, greeting customers in my loose-fitting clothes and thanking those who had seen my proud pregnancy post on social media for their good wishes. Pretending everything was fine felt surreal, but a stream of smiling women was a distraction I needed. Crying for hours at home each day was exhausting. I felt I had no choice but to be strong and to get on with things. I had to, for Asti.
Gosh, that's so hard to listen to because
it takes you back.
It takes me back to getting, I mean, my bike is my happy place. My family is my happy, happy place. My bike is my happy place. I have always been a massive cyclist. So actually 5 days later with a maternity pad in my underwear, I did cycle to my store and back with a podcast in, and it was very helpful to have that fresh air and that movement, you know, and you don't need to move so much on a bike. It's, you know, it's not like running. But because I just opened this second store, it wasn't a new business as such. I'd done it before in Chiswick. It was simply a moving location. And and I did feel like, did that do anything? And I thought the stress level was not high for that particularly, you know.
And then, so yeah, as you wrote in that, you kind of, when the customers were coming in and everyday life, buzzing life, of kind of when people would remark at your bump.
Oh, crumbs.
And you had to go, totally imagine in that moment of that, it's literally a nanosecond you decide, am I going to tell the truth or am I going to lie here?
Yes.
And I've been there with you and I've gone, fuck it, it's the lie today. I can't bothered. I can't be bothered. And I can just imagine you in that split second just looking, going, all is well.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much. And inside I am literally being ripped in two. Like, oh my, am I can't say it. You feel like you're disrespecting the honor of your baby. You feel like you're lying to somebody, which is a bit shit anyway. And you're just going, thank you so much. Trying not to cry. I'm like, what the flipping Henry? So it gets about a week later and I hadn't told many of my friends and I told like very close circle and I hadn't told, you know, lots of other people, and I just thought, I've got to make a decision because I can't cope with this anymore because of social media, particularly Instagram. I'm active on it. I love talking to people. People were interested in my baby because they knew I tried for so many years and this was IVF and hooray, you did it, you know. And I just thought, oh gosh. So I remember taking a photo of Axel's footprints that we had got from the hospital, putting some pretty flowers around them. I didn't want to put like a cold post on Instagram. No. I wanted to be like nice and gentle. And I just sat there one Sunday night in the bedroom. I closed the door and I thought, I'm just going to write the truth.
Yeah.
And I just wrote how I felt. Probably the only time in Instagram history that you don't think about your caption, right?
Yeah.
You're just like, I just got to say how I feel about this.
Yeah.
So I just wrote and I just said, look, thank you to everyone, but it's so painful to have you ask about my bump in the kindest of manners that you are doing it. But my baby died and I gave birth to him and he died.
Yeah.
You know, he died. It's still so crazy to me that this even happened to me.
Yeah.
That I gave birth to a baby and I held him as he died. Like it's so otherworldly almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you can go through life and these things, and you can witness your mum dying, or your husband can have a heart attack in front of you, or you can give birth to a baby and the baby dies. And you just like, we're sent these things, and mostly we can cope eventually with them. But it's just like, wow, life, just, can you just not do that?
Can you just not fuck with me? Yeah.
Can you just not do
that? Yeah.
You know?
And then almost, and you know, for some people it's relentless. It's some people, they have one loss and weeks later, months later, another one happens. And it's in those times I think, I don't know what the fuck is the universe is doing for you, but it needs to fucking stop. Because when my mum died, I was like, okay, that's me for life. Like, surely, like, there's going to be no other, like, substantial death, like, for a really long time until, like, I'm grey and old or something like that. But then the reality is that, fuck no, I'm going to actually have to do this again with someone else that I love. And can my weary, battered heart already, that's still recovering, can that actually take another beating again? To move on to this, I love this. When I stumbled across this video and this interview for you, and you're a fantastic interviewer. I mean, I'm
there. I really enjoy it. I just love, I'm so interested in people and experiences. Yeah. I love talking to people about,
like, we're nosy. We're a bit nosy, aren't we?
A bit nosy, but also it's that general fascination with human interaction and relationships and how this affects this. And it's fascinating.
It is. It really is. And in this specific interview, you interviewed Vanessa Kirby, the actress in Pieces of a Woman. Mm. And for those who don't know what Pieces of a Woman is, it was a Netflix only film, wasn't it? I believe. Yep. That came out about, I remember watching it.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah, quite really in the depth of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the story of a young woman and her, I think, husband or partner who lost their baby. And it is this intimate, intense, the camera work, just everything. I remember on the edge of my seat, like, oh my God. And the bath scene and just, fuck. And you were taken through the journey, and it was like a home birth, wasn't it? And mm-hmm. then so
the baby died at birth through negligence of the midwife.
Yeah. And then so it was, yeah, the midwife and her mishaps, and then getting her to the hospital. And it's this intense film. And then it goes through life after for her, mm-hmm. and yeah. how she started navigating through this world without her baby. Oh, it was fantastic. For someone who, like I said, has not been to experience of this, the insight and many conversations I've had with so many women on this podcast, it was just fascinating. Again, it's fascinating finding out how we tick. And so, and then in this interview, what I love so much, and then whether it's bold to say or not, but I think I just love that you did it. You said, I was actually really worried, Vanessa, that you were going to like fuck this up a little bit, because there was quite a weight on your shoulders to depict the story of thousands, millions of women who have been through this type of journey. And you said, you let this relief of like, oh no, you told our story right. And thank you. Mm. And so kind of, I feel like for myself, this is the first time I've kind of seen this kind of representation on the big screen. Like, that's how about it. You?
Well, that was what I said to Vanessa when I did the interview with her, is people get things wrong all the time. There was a recent storyline. I remember seeing someone on Instagram talking about I believe it was a donor conception storyline, and they got so much wrong. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, people. It isn't a blame of anybody, because before it happened to me, I didn't understand it either.
Yeah.
People do not understand pregnancy loss. Mm. They try, but it's very difficult to understand it, because you're not seeing a living baby. Yeah. There's not photographs that the uncle can look at and understand that baby's died. So therefore there's more empathy coming through from him. I felt so silly for so long calling Axel my baby. But even until, sometimes I still do in certain situations. Mm. I'm sort of like, you know, people look at you and you know that they're thinking, oh, honey, it was you had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, if I could show you the photo, I could show you the photos.
Yeah.
If you was in a bonnet.
Yeah. If you had a lovely bonnet on, I would show you.
If I showed you the photo of my baby, you would never say that again.
You'd eat your words, yeah. You would literally eat your words.
Or even the mum who lost the baby at 3 weeks. If she could somehow, if she could get some telepathic message that would allow him to feel how she's feeling or her to feel how she's feeling, they would never say it again.
No.
There are lots of situations that I won't name names, but there were so many situations where women that I know actually said certain things and acted a certain way. And I just was just thinking, holy sugar.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. No. There's a woman that came to my store that wanted me, she's a fashion stylist. She wanted me to sell some of her clothes in the store, new stuff. And I hadn't answered her emails because, Amber, I could barely.
Yeah.
Text my husband at this point while running the store, you know, because my grief was so strong. It'd been about 6 to 8 months after Axel died, I guess. And she came to the store very annoyed. And I said, I'm so sorry. I haven't been able to get back to anybody because I'm still in such a deep state here. And she replied, what? Still?
Oh.
And it's just those things. And going to a garden party, I remember someone who asked, who's spoken out about pregnancy loss, very high profile lady. I went to her garden party for her clothing launch of children's clothing. And this lady that I think used to work for Vogue, doesn't anymore. I see her and she looks at me, looks very disappointed, doesn't say hi, even though I know her pretty well, walks off.
Yeah.
Walks off. Oh. And I'm just like, I'm not imagining this. I'm not crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, another time I go to the IVF clinic and it's also a gynae clinic. So there's a mixture of patients. Another woman I know, not very well, but I know her. And she just says, oh, what happened? And I just sort of explained that my cervix was weak from my first child and the Axel sort of came out. And she said, I'll never forget it. And she laughed, a big laugh, and said, oh, he just fell out.
Oh, my God.
And then I laughed because I was so nervous. Yeah, and I'm not naming names, but these are all the things that many women have to contend with when they lose a pregnancy. Is this, I don't know if it's nervousness, insensitivity, if it's just careless attitude towards someone else. But I mean, I've got such a long list of, they're not grievances anymore. They were for many years.
Course,
I was like,
course.
Oh God, I want to email you tomorrow.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
3 years later and say... You know, remember that time?
You probably forgot, but remember that time when you laughed in my face and you said, my son fell out of me. You're a cunt.
Yeah, at the IVF counter, because she wasn't doing IVF. It was a mixed gynae clinic as well. And I just, these things, I'll never forget them.
No.
I've let them go.
Yes.
But I'll never forget them. No. And I just think this is what people have to contend with pregnancies. If they're... husband partner died of a, should we say, a more spoken of illness such as cancer or the compassion level, I would imagine, I can't be certain, is a lot greater.
So Pippa, tell me about the book. What's it been like writing it and putting pen to paper? And firstly, what's the name of the book? I know what it is. What did the listeners, they need to know?
It's called Beyond Grief. When I first wrote my piece for Edward at Vogue, we're mates for many, many years. And he asked me when he took over, would you write your story? And I trusted him and his wonderful team. And I did write my story for them. And they took great care of me with it. And it was called Beyond Grief. So it seemed very poetic to call my book, which is how I first introduced Axel properly to the world, called Beyond Grief, Navigating the Journey of Pregnancy and Baby Loss. Because when I lost my baby, there wasn't another book out there that was my book that spoke to me in a certain way. I'm not very sort of soft and I'm not hard ass either, but I'm not, I like direct. Yeah. And, you know, I asked friends to be in the book who've spoken openly about their loss, and therapists and wonderful doula spiritualists in America and a gynae obstetrician who is so respected. They're all in there. So it's advice, it's personal journeys, it's help through the grief, it's guidance, it's you will be okay, you're going to get beyond this. And I'm not saying you never want that grief to go, because a lot of the time it does keep you connected to the people that you love and miss, but you don't want to be in that intense, awful grief from the first point of loss. You know, so it's medical explanations of why this can happen, which I didn't know. So I'm sitting in that hospital thinking I killed my baby.
Putting the blame on yourself.
So I've detailed that as well. Like just trying to get everything answered, that if you are a woman or a supporter of the woman who's lost her baby, if she, it's a partnership normally that have lost the baby, but I'm going for the woman predominantly because she's connected in a physical way to that baby. It's just giving her every single answer and those around her that I never had.
Yeah. One thing I want to ask you before we move on, I want to ask, when is Axel's like birthday?
The 6th of June.
He's a Gemini baby.
He is a Gemini baby. Yeah, like my husband. Yeah, he's a Gemini baby. Yeah, a little summer, early summer baby.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Do you like to do like a celebration around that day? Or at least memorialize it,
Yeah, well, we go to the cemetery where we scattered his ashes. There's a tree and we go there on Christmas Day, New Year's Day, and birthdays, generally all of our birthdays. And it's actually a very beautiful cemetery. So we like to walk around. It's actually lovely. Yeah. I never knew this about cemeteries. They can be very beautiful.
They are.
So we go for a walk around there and we'll have a cupcake. And, you know, we'll definitely...
Mark the day.
Mark the day, for sure. It would seem too odd to me not to, but rather than the tears that come on the morning, now it's like, happy birthday. Hi.
Yeah.
Hello.
Just speaking to the abyss. Just,
We love you. Have a wonderful day. We'll be with you all, well, with you every day anyway. Yeah. But, you know, so it's more of an ease.
It's a shift,
around the
isn't
day.
It? And I'm so with you in that, around my mum's anniversary. It's a real, kind of, happy birthday or happy death day. Speaking to the abyss. But speaking about mums, I wanted to talk with you about your mum. And the reason why when I attended your event back in March, it was creeping up to Mother's Day, you put on an event with Peanut over at Soho House, and Poppy and I wonderfully came along.
So lovely.
It was so great. And this experience, it's not my world, but I am so intrigued in it. And I feel a real connection with the baby loss and pregnancy loss community, and I just think with my platform, I just so when I saw it come up, I was like, I need to come, I need to be in this room with these women and to hear their stories in person. And you did a wonderful job. Such a wonderful
Thank
job.
You.
You were so nervous.
Because I wasn't that nervous. I just love talking, so I'm never nervous with those things.
You came up, I think you were nervous about the numbers stuff, but it was a fantastic room. The buzz was great, and you held this.
Women there were just, I mean, the room was just such a great space for the
it was intimate,
the women that we had
it
there.
Was, yeah. Mm. And so it was wonderful to just be in that. And I've met people now that I'm connected with, and Kat, amazing.
Kat and
love Kat.
Georgina Chloe and everyone. Do you remember Akua that came? Did you speak to Akua?
Yes. We follow each other now. And so it was just, a real wonderful space to just be with all women. But there was a part in the discussion you were speaking about, with your mum and kind of the complicated relationship around that, and when she died, and kind of just speaking about complicated relationships, and we were speaking in the context of Mother's Day. And so you were I don't really feel like I connected really with Mother's Day, or kind of it doesn't really not bother you, or it doesn't upset you maybe as much, kind of the Mother's Day kind of stuff. So I just really wanted to ask you, before we'll talk about kind of complicated relationships with people that have passed, and kind of how we need to honor that as well. And that, like I said with you earlier, mine is very much a Hollywood grief. Like my mum, she wasn't perfect, but we had a very good relationship. But I have friends all over who are my parent or my person was a bit of an asshole, and I love them, but they were really quite tricky when they were alive. And how does that play out in your grief process? And so, tell us a little bit kind of about that. And then I've got another question for you there.
Yeah. Well, my mum and I know she loved me. This is what I know she loved me. But she brought my brother and I out from when I was 2. Very stressful. My father wasn't great at all. I believe a narcissist. Who knows? I haven't spoken to him in many, many years, 20 years perhaps now, because it was a decision that was more beneficial for me. Not because he was awful, but there was just, it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So my mum and I never really had this connection. You know when two magnets get placed at the wrong end?
Yeah.
And you're trying to put two magnets together that do not, they're the wrong ends to go together. That's how I describe it. Mm-hmm. So I know she loved me. I know she tried. She just didn't have the capacity to love me in the way that I wanted or needed. And she ran a business from when we were tiny. She was gone many hours, you know, working on this business, which is not her fault. It's awesome what she did. But then there's that distance. And I'm not saying working mothers cannot be as close to their kids as stay-at-home mums. Yeah. It could be anything, but in my case. And then we just jarred for all the time. I'd go and see her and I just knew it was going to be not fraught, but there'd be just this tension all the time. So we were not that close. I would have liked to have been closer. Of course I would. I would have liked I see mums and daughters going shopping together into clothing stores. I'm like, I wonder what that's like when they're both trying stuff on.
It's so
on
alien. And you're like,
Or I see mother and daughters on holiday together.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, I'm fascinated. I'm not jealous and I'm not anything. I'm just fascinated. Yeah.
Like, what do you talk about?
What do you talk about? You get on with each other? What? I would take a flight with my mum, I would imagine. We never did it. And I'm sure we would be at loggerheads by the time the flight was over, let alone a holiday, you know? And then one night, she never called me after 8 o'clock because she had this hilarious, very considerate belief that I was having my own family life and social life after eight. But she would never phone me. So I remember coming out of a spinning class and my phone had gone from her home line twice.
Okay.
And it had gone past eight. Mm. And I knew something was up. And I was like, oh, sugar. Something's, she's fallen or break in or I don't know, something. I knew something was up because in years and years and years, I'd never had a, and I phoned back and a friend of the family was in the home because my mum had been dead for about almost 2 days because she lived on her own. And she'd pulmonary embolism, the blood clot had caused a cardiac arrest and she had died in her, on her bed or in her bed. I didn't think I'd be that upset when she died, but my God, I was very upset but nowhere near as long as with Axel.
Yeah.
Nowhere near the depth of feeling with Axel. And I have seen a healer since because I didn't want to see a therapist, but I saw my healer that I see who's absolutely wonderful at these things. It's not as in depth, but it's very calming and lovely to talk to someone. And she was in her 70s. It was a, you know, natural cause kind
of
death.
Like natural order, isn't it? Kind of.
Yeah. So for me, it was quite easy to process.
Mm.
It wasn't, it took a, some time to get over it. And I still now, she died in 2015. I still now want to call her sometimes.
Yeah.
It comes in. And unlike you, where you were very close to your mum, where you must get that urge all the time, you know, I still called my mum several times a week. So it was a regular experience just to check in, you know?
Yeah. Part of your routine. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you do think, oh my, I still know her phone number off by heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, cause she had a landline. I used to dial it quite often. No mobile. Didn't want one. So there's just very different types of grief that have hit me. And I had a friend die when I was in my 20s and that was a very strong initial period.
Yeah.
Again, he was somewhat older and had a bad drinking problem. Mm. Not a bad drinking problem, he drank too heavily.
Okay.
So had a heart attack in the car on a drive home one night.
Yeah.
But, you know, easier to process.
Yeah.
Whereas with Axel, it took many, many years. And also I had the visuals.
Yeah.
From this experience.
Yeah.
You flash back to what you saw as well as what you felt, you know?
Second to last question, I wanted to ask you, in those kind of depth, Pippa, what helped you? Where did you turn to for those initial support systems?
Well,
do you feel like there was
I relied heavily on my husband, which looking back, I think he probably could have done with more support than I gave him.
Okay.
But he's a very kind person. Mm-hmm. So he gave me pretty much all I needed until he started to really come out and be a lot happier. I then began to resent him because he wasn't deep in the grief as I was. So that was that. Friends, there are five or six girlfriends and two male friends actually, but the predominant group were a gang of six girlfriends who were not known to each other as such. They knew each other, but they were all so incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
One was like, I will run the shop for you. And she was almost taking no for an answer. I said, Danny, you can't do that.
And yeah, like you have no qualifications in this world.
And the other one just came. She had young kids herself, just came for the first week every night.
Amazing.
And then, you know, another friend would just rally. And
when I think about, even for example, my mum's friends, in terms of, my mum had many, many friends, and part of me now I'm thinking, of course, she's probably spinning in her grave thinking about how many of her friends have actually kind of, you know, held out for her children. But there's one specific friend that after all these years, she shows up like, and I get a message from her at least like twice a month, just, and she sent one the other day, a photo of mum from her Facebook, and she's like, I love when your mum pops up on my Facebook. And
see, isn't that wonderful? They're not afraid or shying away, and they're just saying, yes, your mum died, but look, she was wonderful. Like, look at her.
And look at the times we had. And just and it's things like that those are the people I can't forget. Kind of the other people who sent me hundreds of messages, I'm a bit like, I don't remember if you have a message, but ones that are consistent after nearly 6 years, like it's insane. Well, Pippa, tell the Grief Gang audience where they can get your book and how they can support you.
Well, I recently learned that pre-orders are super important. Yeah. So any support, I didn't realize how important this was. My book is called Beyond Grief, Navigating the Journey of Pregnancy and Baby Loss. It's out on the 25th of August, 2022, this year. And it will be, yes, everywhere. I get Amazon, Waterstones, Foyles. Yeah. So thank you, Amber, to you for your support and anybody else who can and will support. I hope people find it super helpful.
I think they will. I know they will. Pippa, thank you so much for being a guest today on The Grief Gang.
Thank you so much. I've loved it. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much to Pippa for joining me as a guest. If you noticed, I should have put this in the intro, that we are talking a bit in like past tense in terms of when it came to the books, because we did this recording back in like June. My gosh, yeah, we did. But yeah, thank you to Pippa. And I'm going to put in the footnotes of this episode links to where you can purchase her book, Beyond Grief, and get your hands on it. Mine is here with me on my book pile to read. I'm also going to put in the footnotes too some resources of charities and organizations that support those who are experienced and have experienced baby and child and pregnancy loss in the footnotes. And again, just thank you for joining me again this week. It's been a really great and fulfilling season, this season four, and really, really appreciative and grateful for everybody who has been tuning in every single week and sending their feedback and love and support. It has been really great. So take care, and I will see you next week for a very long-awaited topic that Grief Gang community have been asking for. I'm not going to spoil it and be little cocksies. But yeah, I will see you next Wednesday, guys. Take care.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.